Welcome to the HuntCast, the most entertaining, informative hunting podcast around. And now your host, TJ Schaefer.
What's up, guys? It's TJ Schaefer. Thank you guys for tuning into the HuntCast today. Dude, my little brother Paul is not with us today. He's doing a couple things he had to take care of. But regardless of that, we still have a great show for you. We have a very interesting show for you. We have a show that mixes in a little bit of science as well in deer hunting. And so, like I said, I'm excited about it. It's going to be cool. But before I get there, I want to talk about a couple of things. First off, we are 1 week and 1 day away from the opening of Texas archery season, okay? That opens up September 29th. We're recording this on September 21st on a Friday. Next Saturday is our opening day of archery season. And let me tell you something, dude. I've never been more excited for an archery season than I am this year, okay? And there's 100 different reasons why I'm excited about it, but it's going to be a great year of hunting for sure. One of the main things I'm excited about is we have our first decent cold front in Texas moving through next Friday. It's going to drop the highs from around 90 down to about 72. Matter of fact, Saturday night is supposed to drop down to 50 degrees, which is absolutely unheard of in East Texas in basically the end of September. So things are shaping up for it to be a really, really awesome opening weekend. I just can't wait. I got some decent bucks coming. I got a couple cull bucks that I'm going to try to go ahead and cull out during archery season. And I don't know, man. I'm really excited about it. The other thing I want to talk about is camouflage or hunting clothing, I guess you could say. There are hundreds of places that sell a thousand different brands of camouflage clothing. Then there are probably 100 more different camouflage patterns that you can pick out. I am partial to Realtree camouflage because it matches my surroundings. They don't pay me nothing like that. It's just kind of what I've always used, like I said, because it matches my surroundings very, very well, and it keeps me hidden. There is a company out there that I've been talking with probably the last 6 months, trying to get a podcast together to talk about their brand and why we should buy their brand. This company is more of a boutique company. And when by boutique, I mean it probably cost $500 or $600 to buy a jacket, probably cost $300 or $400 to buy a pair of pants, you know, $150 gloves, things like that. And I basically want to know why I should buy that stuff. You know, I spend a ton of time in the woods. Okay. I primarily hunt the South, but you know, We have needs as well, and I want to know how their product meets our needs. I've been told by them that it does. It will meet every need that I have. But, you know, I want specifics. I want to know not only why my hard-earned dollar, but why your hard-earned dollar should buy this product. I want to know the science behind the product. I want to know about layering, all that kind of stuff, and how it applies to us guys in the South. Now, I know that some of your guys that hunt up north or in the west or whatever you want to call it, they probably, I don't know, the marketing's kind of going towards them and the ruggedness of it and things like that. But, dude, let me tell you something. Until you've walked through a hardwood bottom in East Texas with all the thorns and briars and dead timber and things like that, you got to step over and drag through, all that kind of stuff. I mean, we have our own set of obstacles that where we need clothing that lasts and that is that's tough just as much as the guys north and the west. So anyway, I'm trying to get these guys to do a show, and you know, I can't for some reason. I don't know what's going on. I'm not here to put them out on blast or anything like that, but from all the social media attention that's been given to them lately on some of the different pages, Facebook pages or Instagram posts or forums that I follow, things like that, it's actually a big issue. And everybody right now is either buying their clothing or, you know, maybe replacing a few different articles, things like that. Or maybe you're just curious about these different brands and stuff like that. We want to know why we need to spend $500 or $600, why we need to spend $2,500 outfitting ourselves to hunt. And so if you guys got any thoughts or suggestions about that, I really want you guys to reach out to us on social media. You can find us on Instagram at The Hunt Cast. We're on Facebook. It's at The Hunt Cast as well. Matter of fact, I think pretty much every social media outlet is at The Hunt Cast. So shoot us a DM or something and tell us why you like your specific brand of clothing. We're here to help you guys out. We're here to provide information to you. And if you guys say something that that needs to be repeated, we'll throw it out on the air and share your thoughts with our listeners. Today, we have a little bit of a different episode. You know, in the past, we've talked about hunting and gear, things like that. We've interviewed several different celebrities and just kind of gone through different hunting stories, stuff like that. With the season so quickly coming on us, we're going to talk a little bit about a product that I've not yet used. Now, I'll be using it next Saturday morning, 100%, no doubt in my mind. I'll use it every time I go to the stand this year. And I can't wait to talk to you guys about the results of that. This product, when I first read about it, it was probably 3 or 4, maybe 5 years ago, something like that. One of my friends had one, things like that. I checked it out, and it's fairly expensive. And so I wanted to throw this out to our listeners who may wonder about this particular product, who may wonder if it's worth the money, if it's snake oil, or if it's just a gimmick or whatever. But it's something that the more I research, the more I think about, the more I kind of believe in. And, you know, only time will tell when I take it to the woods. And I will 100% tell you guys, honestly, what my results are. They didn't give me this product, nothing like that. I paid for it. And so today we have Mr. Buddy Pylon, who is Vice President of Ozonix. And we're going to be talking about the Ozonix HR300 unit specifically and ozone, which it produces, and how it can cover up or eliminate human scent in the stand. And so I hope you guys enjoy the episode. Here it is, Mr. Buddy Pylon with Ozonix. All right, man. I'm here with Mr. Buddy Pylon of Ozonix. He is the executive vice president of Ozonix. Buddy, man, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing great, TJ, man. I appreciate you having me on today.
Well, I'll be completely honest. I appreciate you putting in some time, making some time for us, because I'm going to be completely honest. I'm super excited about this episode. I'm super excited about y'all's products. I just recently bought one. I cannot wait to get it in the woods. And I am going to actually do a little bit of testing prior to season, but we'll get into that in a minute. Man, buddy, tell me just kind of your background and how you became a part of Ozonix.
Well, I mean, I'm a railroader by trade. I'm a conductor and have been for a little over 22 years. But I come to bow hunting late in life. I was about 32 years old when I actually harvested my first animal, and I did it with a bow and fell in love with it. And that journey or that love of bow hunting led me to that was a shared passion of Scott Elrod, who's the founder and inventor of Ozonix. And we had gone to the same church together, and we started hunting and shooting bows together in the early 2000s. And then as this idea came along on his part and it developed, I was just kind of along there to hear him as a sounding board. And then eventually he was finally ready to form a company and go out and test product and the prototypes, and I've kind of filled in roles ever since, whether it was working trade shows, testing prototypes, doing some filming, whatever it might be, to where I am today. Now I still all day long I'm a railroader, and do this as well.
Gotcha. That's cool, dude. That's very, very cool. Where did you guys, I know you said y'all are church buddies and things like that, but where did y'all meet? I mean, what part of the country are y'all from? And kind of give me a little bit of background about where y'all kind of met and started hunting together and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so both of us currently live in Texas. At the time, both of us lived south of Houston, Texas, about 45 miles in a town. It's called the Lake Jackson, Angleton area. And I literally did meet him at church. I was introduced by a mutual friend, again, another bow hunter and fisherman. And, you know, Scott had a little place, about 40-acre pecan orchard. And on that, he had built a 3D range. It was pretty cool. And we would just go out there on Sunday afternoons and sometimes on Saturdays, and a few of us guys. And we'd just run around and shoot targets and hang out, barbecue, and talk. And that eventually grew into us taking some East Texas pig hunts and then branched out into hunting in Oklahoma for whitetail and some other things. And then, of course, me and Scott have that was in the early 2000s. And so here we are, 2018, nearly 16, 17 years later. And we've got a lot of history there. But he is originally from Minnesota and ended up down here in the 90s. And he's a dentist by trade and still is a dentist all day long, as well as being CEO of Ozonics.
Dude, that is crazy. I mean, you look at a product like Ozonics and I mean, I have the package that the HR300 unit that I bought came in. I mean, it's like legit. I mean, this is some of the best packaging that I've ever seen in a product. And I know that, you know, that's completely second to the product itself, but it's just crazy that this product that I'm looking at right here, the inventor and the executive vice president still hold down regular jobs. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's cool that, you know, in doing this podcast and all the people that I'm meeting and getting to talk to and interview, things like that, it just reinforces the fact that we're all just everyday hunters that our passions just ooze out of us to where products like Ozonics come out.
Yeah, no, and that you made two great points there. And the first one I want to touch on is that me and Scott are only able to do what we do because of the wonderful team we have. I know a lot of people may think we're this giant company, but we really are a small company. And we've worked very, very hard to surround ourselves with team members that really are passionate. Most of them are hunters. And they really, really allow me and Scott to still be able to do what we do. Without them, we wouldn't be able to do like what you're talking about, build packaging like that and to build the quality of products we do. So I wanted to say that. And the second piece is that you're absolutely right. Scott's a dentist and I'm a railroader. And this product is a product of the passion we have for chasing. And on his side, he's a diehard elk hunter. I mean, that's what makes him feel alive. He loves hunting whitetails too, but there is a step change in his passion level when you start talking about elk. Now I enjoy hunting elk, and I've only got to very limited experience doing that. And I want to do a bunch more of it, but I love the sitting in a tree, waiting on that anticipation that a fall sit brings, and is today going to be the day when that guy you're after steps out, and then the beautiful part starts, right? Am I going to be able to execute that cycle that all of us practice so much, work on so much, and all of these tools in our arsenal, like Ozonics, to help us maximize that opportunity? Are we going to be able to execute on it? And so that's really where our company found its genesis in, is the passion we have for chasing animals.
Dude, as you're sitting there describing the fall sit, I mean, we're literally like a week and a half away from it opening up here in Texas. And I'm telling you, it literally gave me chills. It's just, I mean, it's a time like no other. The anticipation for the season, then once you're sitting there, just never knowing. I mean, we can have all the trail cameras and things like that in the world, but if you don't, I mean, you still never know what's going to happen. Dude, it gets me jacked up like nothing else in life. It's pretty amazing. So tell me, I mean, y'all are You said in Lake Jackson, we kind of had a previous conversation before we had this interview set up about, I mean, I graduated, or I didn't graduate, but I went to Brazoswood High School in Lake Jackson. Now I'm up in Northeast Texas, and it's just crazy how small of a world it is that, you know, Ozonics was basically born in an area that I went to high school in. Man, it's super, super cool. And it's what's even cooler, that country down there, I mean, you know, I've covered this before in a past episode. Texas is like 10 or 20 states in one. I mean, we have so many different types of topography and things like that. I mean, this is that stuff down there, man, it's no joke. It's some thick brush and some flat land, and mosquitoes are freaking huge.
Well, yeah. I mean, it is really such a small world, because both of my oldest daughter and my son both graduated from Brazoswood as well. And so it is a small world. But to your point, we're only a few miles, Lake Jackson, as the crow flies, you know, 5, 6, 7 miles from the Gulf of Mexico.
Right.
And the marsh and the duck hunting, the marsh ducks in that area, phenomenal. But to your point, I've had plenty of opening days in October where it's in the mid-90s, the humidity levels in the upper 80s, lower 90s, percent from a percentage standpoint, the mosquitoes are merciless. And you literally are sitting up there sweating profusely. And so this idea of controlling odor has always in that environment been a challenge. And then... To your point, we have a place in South Texas, in Comfort on the west side of San Antonio, and I can't wait to go out there. But we were out there a couple of weeks ago hunting the axis deer, and it was literally 103 degrees, and you're sitting in a ground blind.
Yeah,
just an oven.
Yeah, people who don't hunt ground blinds, it's not fun to hunt them in Texas because it's like an oven, and. Yeah, it can be, you know, I looked today on the, I was just kind of checking out the forecast for the weekend and things like that. I got a couple things going on. I'm actually going to our lease tomorrow to move a couple of stands and things like that. But, I mean, it's like 95 degrees right now, and I think our average high is supposed to be around 86. And so we are definitely going, it looks like we are definitely going to be in major need of controlling some odor come opening morning for sure.
No doubt.
Tell me, I mean, so Ozonics, a lot of our listeners probably know what it is. It is a an ozone generator. I guess is that the correct term for it?
Absolutely. It's, to be more specific, it's an in-field ozone generator. Prior to us creating the HR-100, which was our first unit, there really was no portable 12-volt units that you can take and basically into the field to hunt with you.
Right. Tell us first off, let's get a little scientific here. What is ozone? I mean, we've heard of the ozone layer and things like that, but what is ozone when it comes to us hunting? What do we need to know about it?
Okay, so ozone is an oxidant, right? More powerful than chlorine or bromine, considerably more powerful. And what that does, it's an oxygen molecule, right? That has attached itself. O2 is two oxygen molecules, right? It forms O2.
Right.
When you rip an O2 molecule using high voltage electricity, which is what we do, we use a coronal discharge method where we use high voltage electricity, we electrify this, we force ambient air, which is full of 20% of the air around you is always full of oxygen. We force that across this electrified field, which cracks or fragments an O2 molecule. Well, this free radical, for lack of a better word, molecule, when it attaches to another O2 molecule, now you form O3. O3 being ozone and being this powerful oxidant that wants to return to its normal state of O2. So it's looking to attach itself to something. And in this case, whether it be pollen or dust or smoke or bacteria, which is what human odor is, it attaches to that and literally oxidizes and begins to destroy it. And so if it's a game of time and concentration, enough concentrated ozone for a long enough time and your odor is completely destroyed. But what's not completely destroyed begins to, at a molecular level, will begin to unravel and change, right? It's literal olfactory code will begin to change and become different. And certainly your odor is reduced as it passes through the cloud of ozone or through the concentration of ozone. So for a hunter, this is the concept that is so foreign to most people. Every other scent control method to us over all the years has been, I need to eliminate the odor on the hunter. I need to put special clothes on and special sprays, special body washes and shampoos, and it's endless, right? Because I've got to reduce the odor on the hunter so he can't be smelled. But that's really not the problem, right? The problem is not the odor on the hunter. It's the odor that the hunter releases into the downwind airstream. And what we've determined, or what we came up with, is this idea that if I can keep the airspace between the hunter and the animal, the downwind animal, clean, it no longer matters what you wear, what you're not wearing, what you smell like or don't smell like. Because the simple fact of the matter is you're always breathing, you're always sweating, you're always producing odor. Okay. Yeah.
And you brought up a great point, and I don't want to like stay on this a long time, but a lot of people don't, you know, they'll spend all this money on clothing or sprays or whatever, and they don't even think about their breath. I mean, we are constantly huffing and puffing, some of us probably more than others, you know, while we're sitting in the stand, especially when we first get there. Because in Texas, if it's 90 degrees and you're walking a mile to your stand, even if it's flat and basically like a sidewalk, by the time you get there with all your crap, you're going to be huffing and puffing a little bit. And you haven't done anything to control that that constant exhale of even if you don't think it smells bad, it probably smells bad to a deer. You follow me? I mean, it's something that they're not used to smelling. So, I mean, all this stuff. And what's crazy is we just got through talking about mosquitoes the size of hawks, and now we're talking about splitting atoms. I mean, that's the hunting industry for you, but I know we're not splitting atoms, but you follow what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
So how did ozone, I mean, where did you guys even come up with this concept of ozone? I mean, I'm sure it has something to do with, you know, y'all's background or whatever, but I mean, cause ozone's not just like a typical thing that hunters sit around the campfire and talk about.
Well, so first thing is, obviously we didn't invent ozone. Ozone's right. been around. It was discovered about 150 years ago, but it's been around since God created the earth, right? Every time lightning strikes the ground, it creates hundreds of pounds of ozone, every lightning strike, and it's a natural deodorizer and sanitizer for the entire earth, right? It's God made it that way.
Smell. I mean, if you're absolutely. In a lightning storm, you can smell the lightning. We were talking about that just the other night. We could smell it. But anyway, go ahead.
That's absolutely right. And you as soon as you smell ozone, you'll go, well, that smells like right after a rainstorm.
Exactly.
That's right, because the air is supercharged typically after that with higher amounts of ozone. So over the years, over the 150 years or so that it's been discovered, science has found different applications for it. They use it in industrial applications to purify water. They use it in hot tubs and swimming pools to purify water. They use it in medical suites to sanitize medical equipment. And in this case, Scott's a dentist, right? And so
right.
Scott's using a laser to cauterize a bleeding blood vessel in a patient's mouth. And there's this odor, this pungent odor of burning flesh that's associated with that. And so he had one of his industrial grade medical ozonators that he had brought in the room, and he's, you know, doing his thing, and he realizes, I can't smell this, right? It's completely wiping out this super strong and pungent odor, and I can't smell it. I wonder if it would do that with just the normal human odor. Could we use this honey? And that really was the seed that was planted in his brain that began to eventually evolve into a portable unit that a guy carries to his tree. What you see now, a pound and a half unit that you take anywhere with you in the world and hunt animals.
Yeah, I was amazed at which I'd seen some of the earlier versions of your unit, like the HR-100 or whatever, but I was amazed at this HR-300. First off, how small it is, and then how little it weighs. It's absolutely incredible. How did you guys get from his medical, commercial-sized ozonator, whatever, to what we got now? I mean, kind of give me the rundown on how you developed it and, how you were able to get it in this awesome little package.
Right. So like most technologies and really Scott's a kind of a unique human being because his mind never shuts down. He's a super creative guy. And naturally, so the first unit, to your point, the HR-100 it worked extremely well, but it weighed 5.5 pounds. And the average guy first off, you're trying to convince him that you have a box that puts out an invisible molecule that destroys your odor. And then you tell them it weighs 5.5 pounds. A very, very difficult concept and product to sell to a consumer, right? And so the natural progression for us was, how do we improve this product? I used to carry two of them to a tree with me simply because it did work so well. And you as a bow hunter, I'm telling you, anybody I hear, I don't care if I can give you an advantage, you're going to try it. Right?
Oh, absolutely,
You are going to try it because what we do is difficult, right? It's hard. And that's why most of us choose to do it, because we love that challenge. But Scott's brain's constantly on and on and on. And how do I make this better and better? And we brought other team members on, and that collective intelligence of that group began to formulate the idea of a smaller footprint, a lighter weight unit. We build and designed our own batteries, this entire system. And it, eventually in 2010, it evolved into the HR-200 series, which was, really our flagship model for nearly 6 years, until we introduced the HR-300, which is the unit our current flagship, the one you were just referring to. And so that unit has worked all over the world and killed a lot of animals from somebody's first year, doe to 240 inch deer.
Yeah.
So, or larger.
And what's crazy, there's nothing that drives me more crazy in the woods than a deer blowing. I mean, two or three years ago, I was sitting in a stand and I didn't think I was going to see anything, which I don't care. I just wanted to get out there. It was a hot summer or hot, not summer. I don't hunt in the summer, guys. It was a hot fall evening, and I was playing on my phone or something, and I kind of look up and kind of look over because I had some cover in front of me. I was about an 18-foot stand, and this doe just turns her head and looks at me. And then she starts blowing, of course, and she blew for probably 15 minutes after that out of sight. And, no fun at all to have a deer blow at you. Tell me, I mean, kind of about your testing and how y'all went through that. I mean, because like you said a minute ago, I mean, this product, it's not like it's a spray that cost $5 at Walmart. You know, I mean, this is a pretty good little investment that you're getting people to purchase. And, to spray out a layer of ozone, which is an invisible, like you said, three molecules together, all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's a little crazy. So tell me about your testing and how y'all kind of built up, your backing behind what you're trying to sell.
So, like everybody here originally, the concept was just that, a concept, right? And that's all it is until you prove it. And so in early 2007, January, we had a buddy who had a ranch in Uvalde, Texas. So South Texas again. Free
that's,
range.
That's way south.
Yeah, about 2,500 acres, low fence. And they were mature, quality deer, well-managed place. But these weren't tame deer. And what we, the mission from Scott, again, and so you guys understand his thought process here. His thought process was, look, we are selling, or, and at that point it wasn't even selling. That's probably bad terminology. What it was is, we're going to attempt to introduce something to the world and say it does something. So what we have to do is make it fail, right? Because if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And so when we went out there, our entire mission as a group, there's about seven or eight of us originally, when we did this testing that weekend, we had prototype models that had little rheostats on them. We literally had to go buy motorcycle batteries.
Oh, wow.
And had these modified jumper cables. And we were running around the Tractor Supply and these places to make these units run. And what we said is, all right, we're going to set up down with the animals downwind. We're going to corn them to our location. And we would take Wesatch bushes, which I don't know if anybody familiar with South Texas, they know what a Wesatch bush is. It's a real bushy, thorny type thing. But we would cut holes in them and we would slide a guy in there sitting on the ground. In regular clothes, no special clothes, sprays, nothing. Set the camera up between his legs with a little bitty hole cut and corn to his feet. And with the wind blowing straight at where the animals are going to come from. Okay, so everything is set up 100% wrong.
Giving the animal every advantage possible instead of
every
right.
Right. And then we all agreed, okay, we have 10 spots on the rheostat. You set your rheostat at X, 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 and every one of us set it differently. And we went out and began to film. And if I remember correctly, I was like on a like six or seven on mine. And I'd set it up over my right shoulder. And really, it was kind of blowing down over the top, right? Because we understood, well, we need to keep the airspace clean, but we also were like, well, we need to keep us clean too.
Right.
So there was still this the evolution of our understanding was growing every time we used it. And at that point, we were still like, we need to dump it in the downwind airstream, but we need to clean ourselves too. And so we set it up and we do this. And I just remember, and we filmed this when we got back to the camp house, but I remember I'd only been bow hunting at that point for 5 years. Loved it. I had still, to that point, had never killed, taken a buck. And I'd hunted hard public land at Lake Amistad and Del Rio, which if you've ever hunted there, you know how tough that is.
Right.
I loved going there. But I'd killed a couple of does with my bow up to that point. And I watched a young 8-point come in and feed, and he's downwind and he's, I don't know, 8 yards from me and he's feeding to me. And I was like, yeah, but it's a young deer, but he still shouldn't be doing this.
Right.
This is crazy, right? Well, after that, I get a nice 4.5-year-old or 5.5-year-old deer. And at that point, I wasn't good at aging deer. But again, we filmed it. So when we get back to camp, I've got Wade and his brother and other experienced guys that are going, well, look at that 10-point. That I know this deer. That's that deer. I get that deer, and he comes in and does the exact same thing.
Wow.
And eventually – that young 8-point feeds to me, and I have him on film, and he's so close to me that you can watch the membranes in his nose as he scent checks the air, and he's literally 6 to 7 feet from me feeding and has no clue I'm there. And I just remember going back, because I'd never been that close to animals like that, you know, and them not know you're there. And when we got back to camp, the experience was similar for everyone. And I'll never forget the excitement in that room. And it's cool to go back and watch that film. Well, for one, we were all, 10, 11 years younger at the time, but it was a lot of fun. In fact, one of the guys there with us, Scott, another Scott, he had done something. He's sitting there and he's going, man, I can't believe this field's full of deer and pigs. So at the time it was really wild that he had both animals out in front of him, and he thought, what if I just turn the unit off? And this is all on film. He reaches up, turns the unit off, and you can literally watch the animals as the ozone begins to dissipate. All of a sudden, heads come up. You know, they start pacing and turning, because literally they're standing in an area where there was no human odor and they'd smelled none, and all of a sudden they're getting human odor and they're look, and pretty soon the entire field's empty.
Wow.
Reaches back up, turns the unit on, and within 20 minutes you got all these animals back again.
Right.
It was one of the most absolutely mind-blowing experiences you can have, and that's when we're like, this is unbelievable. And of course, our excitement was, you know, everybody's going to want one of these, right?
Right.
But to your point earlier, there is a huge learning curve, right? There's an education piece that we've spent 11 years pushing, right? And teaching and bringing to, with the help of, we've had so many good relationships in this industry of people who have stepped out. And Will Primos was one of the early guys that just, you know, I'm willing to give this a chance, goes out and just is like, man, this is unbelievable. And I can list multiple other people because it's been a tough journey because you are selling an invisible molecule. People called it snake oil, voodoo right. in a box.
Right.
All of these points.
Just said something that was huge to me. You know, like the Primos guys, those guys hunt nothing but mature deer. You know, I mean, yeah, they may shoot a doe here or there or whatever, but I mean, you look at their website and follow them on social media and things like that. I mean, they're laying down some brutes on, and, you know, for those guys to be excited about it, I mean, I don't know what anybody else needs to hear. You know what I mean? Cause it's that's pretty legit. That's an awesome, testament to the product.
Well, and I wasn't trying to throw somebody's name out.
But how much
Will really, really was a big proponent and an early proponent for this type of technology, and he embraced it and really, really helped us step into an industry we were unfamiliar with and helped give us guidance on how to educate people.
Yeah. So basically, I'll post up some pics on our social media sites. Kind of showing, because you have some really good illustrations on the box. And I really had a conversation with someone about Ozonics, and I can't remember the dude's name. I guess I should have written it down or something, because he was a super cool guy. But I kind of started talking to people. I've heard about the units forever, things like that. But at the Texas Trophy Hunters Extravaganza down in Houston, I stopped by the booth and talked to somebody for a while, and I'm just like, look, man, just really tell me what this thing's about. And he did a great job of explaining it. And basically, what my curiosity was is, you place the unit above you, you know, what happens? And he basically said that it's basically pouring out a waterfall of ozone, you know, over you and past you, which, like you said, the downwind of you, and that wind blows through you, basically picking up your scent, then blows through the waterfall of ozone, and those ozone molecules basically destroy, you know, most of your scent. That right there, when he said that, I said, okay, this makes sense now, and I want to check this stuff out a little bit further. I know I probably just butchered all that, but, you know, I'm not a very scientific guy. I like to sit in a tree stand and shoot stuff.
No, that was absolutely was an excellent way to describe that. The key element here, like I tell a lot of people, as we discussed earlier, we didn't invent ozone. Ozone is science. Ozone does exactly what we say it does. So if it's not working for you, it becomes an application issue. I can give you the best bow in the world, right? But if you shoot it upside down, it doesn't work very well. And
right.
Our product is no different. It has a learning curve. It's a tool. You use a hammer backwards, not ideal. So you take, to your point, the wind's going to hit you and it's going to pull odor off of you. And that's the only place you have to worry about an animal smelling you is when it's downwind of you.
Right.
So that's where your ozone always go. There's so many people who misunderstand this idea, and they think, and part of it is because it's hard to show in an illustration the unit in any other position than out front of you. But the only time that unit's going to be dumping ozone to the front of you is when the wind's blowing right to your front and in to where you're hunting. If the wind's hitting you in the face, that unit's going to be pointing over your back, dumping ozone to your back. If it's hitting you from the left to the right, you're dumping ozone to the right. And the opposite, right to left, you're dumping ozone to the left. You're always going to dump ozone in the downwind airstream. Maximum, you're going to maximize your concentration, and you're going to and try to keep it in the area for the longest amount of time. So just what you said, the wind hits you, drags the odor off of you, and then it hits this cloud of concentrated ozone, and that's where the magic happens. Molecular level, ozone begins to eat and destroy the bacteria that is human odor.
And I want to make sure, I want to clarify something as well. You're not sitting here saying always hunt downwind now. I mean, we need to still try to hunt the wind as much as possible. This is just another tool that can eliminate that scent downwind of us.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm going to bring up a kind of a situation that we run into a lot the end of October, first November here in Texas, and that is the rut. And we do a ton of rattling. We do our best to manage our lands and things like that as best as possible. All over a 4,500 acre lease, we probably, I don't know, the biologists and things, they try to keep us right at that 1-to-1 ratio, which, you know, I who knows if that's right. I don't know if it's actually that or not, but they're smarter than I am, apparently. So we do a lot of rattling, especially, you know, pre-rut and then even post-rut some. We're rattling like crazy. What we have seen, and I'm telling you this, the God's honest truth 100%, is every time we rattle, those bucks come, and the mature bucks, they all come downwind of us. They're coming to check that scent. And I think that happens a lot more than what we give credit to these deer. I don't think they're dumb animals that just come to corn because they are a food plot or whatever because they're hungry. I think they're coming, and if we pay close enough attention, they're going to come from that downwind area to try to avoid predators and things like that. This is a major tool in helping us take that advantage from them of coming from downwind.
Right. And so a couple of great points. One, a lot of times people have no idea what animals they haven't seen because they haven't seen them, right? Because that animal does circle downwind before it approaches a certain spot for whatever reason. Number two, people ask me, well, sometimes I get that, hey, I just hunt the wind. Well, sometimes I hunt Saturdays. I don't have the choice about what the wind's doing on a Saturday.
Right. And we don't have 50 different stand locations that we can hunt the wind.
Exactly. So what I tell people, there's a couple of different ideas here. One is the guy who thinks he needs this the least is the guy who needs it the most. He's the guy who doesn't have unlimited opportunity, stand locations, or time to hunt whenever the wind's perfect. What he gets to do is hunt Saturday morning or he gets to go. I remember this happened to me. I saved up for 2 years to go on a paid hunt, guided hunt in Oklahoma. I get up there and it's unseasonably warm and the wind's out of the south and every single stand was ruined. And this was pre-ozonics. So there was nothing but me watching deer at 400 yards because the wind was wrong.
Right.
And so the ozonics becomes a tool that helps you in situations such as that. Like I can leave work and I don't have to go home, shower, and put on special clothes. If I have the opportunity to do that, of course I'm going to because it reduces the amount of residual odor I release in the downwind airstream, which decreases the odds that some of my odor is going to get through that cloud of ozone and alert that animal. So I'm going to use common sense and use what scent management tools I have at my disposal if I have that time and opportunity. If I don't, I feel confident, especially understanding how to correctly set up and use ozone when I hunt, that I can get away with things that I never could before. The other thing is on small properties, every time you go out there, you begin to burn up that location because of the odor footprint that you leave. When you use this correctly, you begin to reduce that and you can hunt stand locations far longer than you could before. And lastly, when you know, and I do, everybody can get lucky and kill a giant deer sometimes, right? The stars align and the deer makes a mistake, or you just happen to walk into the right situation. But for somebody to kill giants consistently year after year, you have to learn how to cheat that deer's nose.
Absolutely.
Because that deer is going to travel with the wind quartering to him most of the time. And you've got to learn how to set up and get in a position where you can cheat that nose a little bit to consistently get on big deer. And we call it killer winds is what we call it. Right. And I encourage guys to start hunting your deer and stop hunting the wind. Let me explain that or qualify that statement. And that statement is that if I asked you, would you put your stand there? Is that the best spot for killing the deer, or is that the best spot for hunting the wind? And 99% of the time a guy says, well, that's the best spot for hunting the wind, so I don't get popped. But if I take that factor, that variable out of play, would you move your stand to a spot that would give you a greater percentage or a greater opportunity at taking the deer you're after? And the answer is yes. Well, I'm telling you that I have the tool that will do that for you.
Dude, you got me jacked up. I'm gonna buy another one. I'm not even playing. I am literally jacked up sitting here talking about it, because I'm thinking of so many different opportunities, so many different stand locations, so many different situations that I've been in over the last, 15, 20 years that, this right now, I said it, I think in our last podcast, my brother and I, we talked about just gear and then general hunting tactics and why I hunt, things like that. This piece of gear, I said in that episode, I'm saying again, this piece of gear is the most excited that I've been about a piece of gear in I don't know how long. And I'm a huge gear junkie. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like any kind of gear just because, it allows me to play with something even out of hunting season or whatever. This Ozonix unit, I'm not playing, is the piece of gear I'm most excited about this year. Let's talk about what all comes in the box, just kind of briefly. Okay. I have an HR300 unit here. It comes with the unit itself. Like I said, I was surprised how light it was. I'm surprised how small it was. I'm trying to sit here and think of something that I can kind of compare to the size of it, and I can't really. It's probably about the size of like a box of like chicken and a biscuit crackers, I guess you could say. I don't know. That probably shows that I like to eat fattening crap, but it's a smaller size. It's smaller than a box of cereal.
Yeah, I like to tell people it's about the same footprint as a set of 10x42 binoculars, roughly. The average set of 10x42 or 8x42 binoculars.
That's hilarious that I compared it to a box of chicken biscuits. And yeah, thanks, dude. You're making me look good here. No, but you're exactly right. It comes that's the unit itself, which has a rechargeable battery that just kind of pops into the bottom of it, which was cool. It comes with kind of like an arm that you screw into the tree that the unit mounts to. I don't know what the technical term for that arm is, but I guess it's the easy mount.
The easy mount retrofits onto the back of the unit to make it much more easy to utilize in the dark with the mount you're referring to. So that's just our 4-inch standard mount that you're talking about has a tree screw that screws directly into the tree and then gives you 4 inches of articulation for you to help you maneuver and correctly position your unit.
It's like a bow hanger that you screw into the tree, basically. Mm-hmm. Yes. For those that are listening. And then the unit just kind of the quick mount, the easy mount, it just basically, it's a little, thing that's about 2 inches long that just snaps down, and that's what it snaps onto the arm. It's very, very, very easy to mount this to the arm. Like you said, you can do it in the dark.
Yep.
And so, I got my unit, I unboxed it, I charged my battery completely, and then I started playing around with it, and I would walk into one of my co-worker's office and turn it on and say, hey, I'm shooting you with ozone, and they didn't think it was very funny. What are some of the are there any ill effects of ozone?
So, you know, like anything, if I lock you in an airtight room and pump pure oxygen in there, which is what you breathe all day long, it can reach toxic levels. Ozone's no different, but correct utilization of our unit, there's going to be no issues. And by that, and by correct application, what I mean is obviously you don't lock yourself in a sealed room and run it for hours and hours. The battery should die before it ever reached toxic levels. If somebody was, I hate to use the term dumb enough to do that because it doesn't make sense, but they would be okay. Yeah. Because the battery would die. Now, all of that aside, here's a couple of pointers. One, if you are breathing ozone for more than just a whiff here or there, that should tell you that you're set up. That's the first indication the wind has shifted on you and your setup is no longer correct, right?
Gotcha. Because it's blowing on you and not away from you.
Exactly. So correct utilization means that you're always dumping the ozone in the downwind airstream, and it's very, you may get it as the wind swirls every now and then.
Right.
The minor effects that most people, exposure to ozone, is dry eyes and a scratchy throat. If you get that, you know, turn the unit off or go to a fresh air place. But what I teach and what I tell people is, if that's happening, you're not using the unit right.
Right.
Because every bit of it should be carried away by the wind, the same place your odor's going. And so correct setup is always dumping in a position where if it's touching you or hitting you, you're wasting it.
Right. So no. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's just again, like a lot of things, overexposure is not good for you. In this case, correct application of the unit, overexposure doesn't happen.
Yeah, and I seriously was just joking about spraying people with ozone. I was just joking. It comes with this little bracket that which we've talked a lot about using it in a bow hunting situation where you're in a tree stand and it's mounted mm-hmm. above you and kind of dumping. But I thought it was also cool that it comes with a bracket that mounts in any of your pop-up blinds. Tell us about Absolutely. That application.
So, in a ground blind, I'll never tell anybody anything's 100%, but hunting hard sided blinds and ground sided and soft sided blinds, ground blinds, with ozone and with our unit, is that you can control airflow, right? That's something you don't get to do in an open air environment like a tree stand or when you're spotting stock.
Right,
but in a ground blind or hard sided blind, just like all of us can start a fire in our living room with the magic of airflow, right? We can adjust the flue, and we don't get a living room full of smoke. It goes out of the chimney. Same thing in a ground blind. You can adjust airflow. You allow air in. You allow air out. And the path of least resistance, right? That's where your odor is going to go. That's where you hyper ozonate. You create an exit. That's where your air goes. That's where your odor goes. That's where your ozone goes. And because of that constriction and that ability to direct airflow, it is amazing what you can do with ground blinds and hard sided blinds.
Right. I mean, I am your everyday hunter. And that's why I started this podcast, because I wanted to really focus in on issues that your everyday guys have. What I'm about to say, any seasoned or professional hunter or whatever you want to call it would probably be like, that guy's an idiot. But I'm just being real here. When I hunt ground blinds, I do less scent control than I do any other time. And I don't know if that's mm-hmm. because of laziness or what. Usually I'm wearing, you know, somewhat regular clothes. I like to, when I hunt ground blinds, I like to wear black. So I have a couple of hooded sweatshirts that I wear like crazy when I'm hunting ground blinds, things like that. Or it's kind of like what you said, I'm wearing next to nothing because it's 150 degrees in the ground blind and, I'm dripping with sweat. This is really, I mean, I'm super excited about, cause like you said, we have a smaller opening that's exposed to the scent coming out of the blind. And with that that area being honed in, where that scent, where we're controlling, like you said, the scent coming out using this unit, dude, it's going to be lights out. I have no doubts in the world about that. You also mentioned spot and stock. Do these things mm-hmm. work on a spot and stock situation?
Absolutely. I mean, many years ago, obviously here in South Texas, and especially in Brazoria County and the surrounding counties, we have plenty of pigs, and they're a nuisance. And so there was a lot of times we would go down on our river bottoms, and we would strap that big unit with bungee cords to our backpacks and on our back, and sneak up on groups of pigs and try to arrow them or shoot them with a muzzleloader or whatever. It didn't, I mean, when you're hunting pigs, it's whatever weapon's handy, but we preferred bows. But as this has evolved, we've created, we're not in the backpack business, but what we do is nice platforms for the delivery of ozone. So we created what we call the Kinetic Pack, and it allows you to your HR 200 or HR 300 and place it in of your back, and there's some neat technology inside of that we've designed. It angles the unit correctly. It's not just a pouch. There's a little more to it than that, but it dumps that concentrated ozone into the air. Like, for instance, me and Scott hunted elk for 9 days in the Gila last year, and everywhere, all of us, the guide, the cameraman, and ourselves, all wearing the Kinetic Pack, or we had other packs, and we would retrofit what I call the skeleton, which is the top portion of the Kinetic Pack, to those packs. And we all had units running the entire time. And when you have a herd of elk and you're like standing in the middle of them and they're walking on both sides of you because they can't smell you, it is an eerie feeling and really neat. Again, it works wonderfully.
That's awesome. Tell us a little bit else about maybe some of the other accessories you sell. Another thing I'm excited about, and I keep saying that, but I'm excited about this overall. It's freaking incredible. Is kind of like your dry wash bag. Tell us about the dry wash bag. Tell us kind of tell us how you came up with it. All that good stuff.
Yeah. So the dry wash bag, again, there is value in what we would call passive scent control, and that is the reduction of odor, the residual odor, either in clothing or on your person. That does degrade over time, right? The more exposure to you or outside elements, it begins to be less effective and less effective over time. But for people who wanted to treat their clothes, and a lot of people do, we created what we call the dry wash bag. And the dry wash bag is part of the Ozonics ecosystem, meaning that all of our accessories are designed to be used with the unit. And then the beauty of that is then you take the unit and hunt with it in the woods. So right. It's multi-purpose. You can use it for passive and active scent control. And so it gets you from your house. You take the dry wash is basically a small closet. And the reason why we designed it the way we did and not just a duffel bag is because surface area exposure is really important when you utilize ozone, because ozone is not a burrowing molecule, right? So the odor and bacteria has to be exposed to the ozone for the ozone to begin to do its magic. And so you hang the clothes and you'll look inside our dry wash and you'll see a baffle system, because not only is airflow critical, you have to create or eliminate hot spots. And hot spots means that if I just dump ozone into the top of that bag, the top of my textile, my clothing, is getting hyper-ozonated with massive amounts of ozone, but the bottoms of those garments are not getting the same level of treatment. And so we introduced a garment bag in 2010, and very quickly we realized this doesn't work like we want it to work, right? Because ozone, as I told you earlier, it's 150 times more powerful than chlorine or bromine, meaning I would need 150 thimbles of bleach to oxidize what one thimble of ozone will do.
Wow.
Okay. So, and much like bleach, this is the analogy I use for the dry wash bag. If everybody listening takes a gallon of bleach and pours it in their washing machine, they're going to ruin their entire, all the clothes in that washing machine. But if they take a cup of bleach and they pour it in the right spot and they run it on the right cycle, they're going to deodorize and sanitize their clothes. Ozone's no different. The right amount of ozone for the right amount of time. So we, two things, we designed the bag to optimize airflow. Also inside of the HR 300 and the HR 230 are what we call dry wash mode with pulse technology, where we utilize a cycle of hyperozonation and fresh air to basically turn on and turn off the oxidative process. So it deodorizes and sanitizes, but not doesn't degrade and destroy your clothing.
Right.
Okay. So it looks like a bag, but there's a lot of thought and technology into that that optimizes that bag to treat your clothes without destroying your clothes.
Right. Gotcha. So anybody, I mean, if you buy the HR 200 or 300 or whatever, I mean, you would highly recommend the dry wash bag as well.
Well, absolutely. Cause anything you can do to increase your odds. So if you have the opportunity to treat your clothing before you go, that the dry wash bag does that, and it's the same unit. So it's what I tell people. The beauty, that dry wash folds down. You leave work, you got your gear in it already, because it'll fold down with a set of clothes in it. Even your boots can fit in it. You get to your hunting location, you pull it out. It's a 10-minute cycle with the HR300. So you raise it up, hang it on the tree branch, hang it on the back of your tailgate, hang it on your mirror. Put your unit in there, fire it up on the dry wash mode. In 10 minutes, it's treated the clothes. If you have time, turn them inside out, treat them one more time. If not, put them on, take that same unit, slide it in your kinetic pack, and now your ingress or your entry into your stand location, which a lot of people blow their hunt going in and out of their stand. And
I would agree with that 100%.
So now you've got the unit running, and it's dumping ozone in the downwind airstream because the air is going to carry your odor the same place it carries the ozone molecule. So now you walk to your stand, you climb up in the tree, you pull your unit out, you mount it into the tree, point it downwind, hang your backpack up, and you hunt. You're done hunting, you pull your unit out of the tree, put it back in your backpack, you walk back to your truck, throw your gear in the truck, and go to the house.
Gotcha. Couple of quick questions for you. I know we're running a little long, but I want to hit these. How long does the battery last?
So the standard battery that comes with the unit will give you up to 5 hours in standard mode and up to 4 hours in boost mode. Obviously, lithium ion batteries, if any of you guys are running cameras or even on your phones, you understand extreme cold temperatures or extreme heat can reduce battery life.
Right, right. Now, tell me the difference real quickly about regular mode versus boost mode.
Okay, the simplest way to look at this is anytime you're hunting an open air environment, hunt with it on boost mode, because it's about, always remember, hunting with ozone is about time and concentration. In an open air environment, the dilution of my ozone occurs faster. So to counter that dilution means I need to produce more ozone. And that's what boost mode does, is produces more ozone.
All right, cool. I wanted to address just a couple more things. One of which is when I first saw your product, it was on the shelf of, some of our regular retail stores and things like that. That's no longer the case, right?
That's correct.
You guys, go ahead.
I was going to say, there is inventory in the retail space still, but that's residual inventory left over from last year. We left the retail world in January 1st of 2018.
What caused y'all to kind of come to that decision?
You know, it's a complex conversation, but the way I would address that is that for a long time, this education piece that we have touched on a couple times in this conversation, there is a lot to it. And what we found over the years is that we would turn the ultimate responsibility of that final education piece over to a third party, whether that and some of the bow shops were really good at this. There was a handful that were really good at this, but the vast majority, even at a retail, at some of the bigger big box retail locations, and you guys have probably experienced this, you run into salespeople that really don't know the products in the store.
Yeah.
And to your point earlier, it's an investment to purchase one of these units. So there has to, a lot of times there has to be confidence in the conversation around how do I use it? What does it do? What do you think about it? And what we realized over time is that wasn't being done at that at that end level, right? And that, so we decided we would take the responsibility back for that relationship with the end user, with our customer. We would take that back and we would own that and create this end-to-end experience, meaning we concept, design, build, and bring to the consumer end to end. And obviously we were successful in the retail space. We had spent 11 years in that arena, and we're on the shelves in most places. So it was a real big decision, and one that I feel confident was the right decision, because again, I get to interact with the end, with the customer now directly, and I believe that that's a much, I live vicariously through so many of our customers. I love seeing people with that smile on their face when they either taken their first deer or their best deer or the first deer of the season, whatever it may be. And I love having these conversations when a customer calls and they say, hey, this happened to me. Okay, well, tell me about your setup. That's what we're responsible for now. And I think in the long run, it's a much better position for us.
Well, and the reason why I wanted to bring it up, because I didn't want, you know, we saw, I'm sure everybody has seen these units either through different online retail spaces or, you know, like I said earlier, maybe some of the larger chain stores, things like that, or even at your local bow shops. And, you know, now they may not see them. And so I wanted to address that and just, you know, let everybody know why that decision came to be. You guys have an awesome website, ozonixhunting.com, that pretty much anybody can go to at any time and get great education on this product and, you know, build up some confidence in the money you're going to be spending. Because like I said, they're not, you know, they're not necessarily that cheap. I mean, hunting, the word cheap is really irrelevant, in my opinion. But, you know, like your HR300 is right around $450. The HR230 is right around $300. I mean, that's a decent little investment for people on something that they may not be 100% sure, 100% confident in. Dude, you go to your website, you check it out, watch some of the videos, read some of the there's a great page on how ozone works. It's very, very educational. And it definitely gave me confidence in purchasing the product. Like I said, great website, ozonixhunting.com. Buddy, I mean, is there anything you want to leave us with or you know, kind of funny story? What do you guys got planned this year as far as hunting goes?
Well, as I said, I plan on, just like you, I'm going to head the opener. I'm going to try to be in comfort and see if I can't get on a whitetail or an axis or both. And we have a hunt planned, and I've never hunted Illinois, and we're going to hunt there in South Central Illinois with Southern Illinois Outfitter. And then headed to Saskatchewan for the first week in November, Northern Saskatchewan, to hunt with my buddy Dean Partridge and Canadian Whitetail TV up there, which I've hunted up there the last 2 years. And it's a special place and a dream for me. I truly enjoy it, and it's with good friends. And so that's right now, that's the major adventures I have planned this year for us.
Nice. Well, you guys can check them out, like I said earlier, at ozonixhunting.com. They're on Facebook. Just search Ozonix Hunting. Also on Instagram, at Ozonix Hunting. Dude, buddy, it's been a pleasure, man. And I can't tell you again how excited I am to try out this unit. And when I said at the first of the show, there's a couple of stand locations that I don't feel like my cameras are really picking up what all is coming through. And I plan on sitting this weekend some in one of those stands, and the weather shows it's going to be like 92. So it's going to be nice and warm, and I will have my Ozonix unit with me to give it its first go-round this particular weekend, or this weekend coming up. So, dude, I'm jacked about it. I think it's a great product. I'm glad that I spent that money, and I can't wait to see the advantage that it allows me to have on some of these deer.
Well, TJ, I appreciate the opportunity, and quite frankly, as I said earlier, I love to live vicariously through other hunters, and I cannot wait for the phone call I'm going to get from you and the text messages where you have your aha moment, as we like to call it, and you get to see deer do what deer shouldn't do. And as you begin to understand that better, what I tell people is hunting with ozone changes everything. So get ready.
Oh, dude, I'm jacked. I can't wait. I'm serious. I'm really, really jacked up. Buddy, man, thanks so much. And we'll catch up with you after season and talk success stories.
Likewise, brother. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the HuntCast. Stay up to date with all new episodes, special guests, and appearances by following us on your favorite social media platform. Search The HuntCast on Facebook or on Twitter and Instagram at The HuntCast.